This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach and ADHD Coach, that is, Jeff Copper. Tonight is Wednesday, July the 9th in the year 2014 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got a spectacular show for you tonight. The topic is an ADHD victory over discrimination in the Ivory Tower. I will tell you this is, I'm very excited about this show. This is very much, it's exciting news. A little shocking that we're having this kind of exciting news in the 21st century, which you'll learn a little bit more about in a little bit. I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about highlighting advocacy and how certain organizations in our community really are helping you move forward and helping the ADHD community as a whole. With us in our virtual studio is Rob Todisco, who's a disability attorney, a nonprofit consultant, ADHD motivational speaker, and as you're going to find out a little bit later, he's your best friend if you've got ADHD, even though you don't maybe not have met him. We're going to get into the details here in a minute, but a few quick announcements. The Attention Deficit Disorder Association Conference is right around the corner. It starts July, I think, 24th. I think it's 2 weeks from tomorrow up the road in Orlando. It's not too late to register. Go to add.org and sign up there. Fly to Florida. It's a great time to come. I know it sounds like it might be hot down here, but we've been having a lot of thunderstorms and rains coming through, so it kind of cools it off. Also, it's not too early. Start planning for the annual CHAD conference this year. It's in Chicago, November the 13th to the 15th. So to learn about more about that, go to chadd.org. Also, a little shout-out, a special shout-out to Lori DePar. She's hosting the Succeed with ADHD Telesummit. It's an online telesummit that starts July the 14th. That's this Monday. And I'd like to thank her very much for inviting me to be a guest and her host of speakers. It's, you know, kind of funny. You do these interviews with all the experts for a long period of time, and believe it or not, you know, some of their wisdom kind of rubs off. And I'm just kind of honored that she reached out to me and asked me to speak. So I'm kind of excited. We're talking about the anatomy of a strength. We know what skills, knowledge, and experience, and gifts, and talents, and motivation, and passion, and I try to put it all in a context that makes a little bit of sense so that you can bring some specificity to it. Let's see, another reminder out there, Russ Barkley had asked me to make this known. There's a new organization or a new website called ADHDfund.com. It's about crowdsourcing to raise funds, and oversimplifying is most research is done because somebody has an interest in it, and sometimes there's conflict of interest in what's kind of going on, but this website is really all about raising money that's not earmarked for any particular purpose for a committee to actually determine things that probably would really benefit the ADHD community if there was research on it, but for which there's no funding. So I'm very proud to kind of announce that because I think it's a big deal and worth checking out. So again, that website is ADHDfund.com. And with that, I think we got all our messages. I mean, our announcements kind of taken care of. So let's get into the meat of the show. Again, we're going to talk about an ADHD victory over the over discrimination in the Ivory Tower. And tonight we've got Rob Todisco. And as I had mentioned, you may or may not know Rob, but let me tell you, he's one of your best friends because he is working his butt off out there on your behalf to take care of you and advocating. He's a nationally recognized author, an ADHD motivational speaker, and nonprofit management consultant. He's also a practicing attorney, an adult diagnosed with ADHD. From 20, 2010 through 2013, he was the executive director of the Edge Foundation, a nonprofit organization that provides specialized coaching or coaches for students with ADHD and executive function impairment. The Edge Foundation is very near and dear to our heart. They've been supporting us for a couple years. He's a past member of the National Board of Directors for Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or CHAD, and has been a member and past chair of their Public Policy Committee. He's a former vice president of the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, ADDA in this case, and since his diagnosis, he's researched and written extensively on the subject of educational law and disability advocacy. He's a frequent resource for the media on these subjects, including CBS News, New York Times Magazine, Newsweek, ABC News, the BBC, Today Show, yada, yada, yada. He also serves on the editorial advisory board of Attention Magazine and has been published multiple times there. For more information on Rob, go to robtudisco, that's TUDISCO.com. And with that, Rob, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, pretty soon, Rob, what I'm going to have to do is I'm just going to have to dedicate a show to your bio and then just refer everybody to that, because that's a condensed version. And everybody, we actually did a show. We've done a bunch of shows with Rob, but we did a show one time just talking about him as an asset to the ADHD community. And Rob, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but you really, truly are one of the great assets. You do so much work in so many different ways for advocating on everybody. And so hopefully we're going to highlight some things that you've been pushing along to kind of to bring some of that stuff out. So I guess on behalf of the crowd, thanks for everything you do.
Thank you, Jeff. You're very welcome.
Okay, so let's talk. Let's get into the media show tonight. So,
sure.
Students, to go into graduate school, it's a big commitment. There's an expense. It's time consuming, and there's a lot of work. But can you talk about the added stuff that on top of that, if you happen to have a learning disability, dyslexia, or in our case, ADHD?
Yes, it really complicates things. Aside from the money that's involved and the time commitment and the commitment is of your life that you're giving up, there's a lot of stress involved, especially to the extent that students with disabilities need accommodations for high-stakes tests. In this particular case tonight, we're going to be talking about the law school admissions test, or the LSAT, which is a significant test and involves or did involve a lot of hurdles that students had to go through in order to get specialized testing accommodations, and yet even if they were successful, they were still in a way discriminated, in a very real way discriminated against. And so this is a really good example of a victory, not just for the ADHD community, but the disability community as a whole. And one of the things that I think is really important, as you were talking about all of the organizations like ADDA, like CHAD, like the Edge Foundation, the importance of these organizations is not only that they give you information and support, but they also provide you with a voice that you may not be able to raise on your own to policymakers. And that is really significant, and this is a good illustration of how it was a success in this particular case.
So let me ask you, you use the word discrimination, and we're talking about the LSAT. This is the 21st century LSAT. This is the test you got to get into law school, and this discrimination. What discrimination? Talk to me about that.
Here's the way it works. Out of all of the agencies that you can apply to for specialized testing accommodations for a high-stakes test, entrance exams like these are called high-stakes tests, there's a process that you have to go through. And the LSAC, the Law School Admissions Council, has been notorious over the years for having much stricter requirements in order to establish and to document your disability. The process is much lengthier. And another thing that distinguished the LSAC among other testing organizations were they did not permit students to seek out accommodations and then, depending on whether or not they were successful, sign up for an exam. Students were required to commit to an exam on a specific date, and then file for their accommodation with their documentation. And that put the students at a significant disadvantage because there was no transparency in the process that the LSAC used in order to resolve these issues. They say that their process was as quick as 2 weeks, but they also acknowledged that it was, in most cases, much lengthier than that. And they also required all of the students to get new evaluations, which were extremely expensive, several thousand dollars, and many of the evaluators have waiting lists to get in, which further complicated things. And when you're a student making the commitment for graduate school, it should be about what score you can get on the test, your level of aptitude, and your background. It shouldn't be about trying to weed out and meet these requirements and spending all of this money and all of the anguish that goes with it. And so the second level of this problem was, and this is where the discrimination comes in, if you did spend the money and meet the time requirements and get in and go through all of the flaming hoops to get an accommodation specifically of extended time on the LSAC, when the LSAC reported the student's score to the law schools, it was a flag test score. And what that means is it was in the letter when they released the scores to the law schools, you're hereby put on notice that this score was under accommodated conditions, and therefore we can't vouch for the validity of the score, which essentially nullifies the accommodation that the students spent so much time and anguish and money getting. And it was highly prejudicial because now the law schools are being told essentially this is a disabled student who needed accommodations to take this exam. And it sets them apart from other students who took the exam. And that on its face is discriminatory.
So I want to dice this in half because I got to go to a break in a second.
But okay.
We're talking about the Law School Admissions Council. This is the organization that's kind of setting the stuff to screen out or whatever that's a hurdle that you've got to get to go to law school. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
And this organization has an impact on who becomes a lawyer and who doesn't. And at the end of the day, the people that get through this process are the people that are advocating for me if I have a trouble over discrimination. Is that right?
Once again, Jeff, you are correct. And to make matters worse, the American Bar Association, which is the largest national organization, a trade organization of lawyers, got together and its civil rights committee issued a full resolution urging the LSAC to discontinue this discriminatory practice because they felt that there is no relationship between the timing of an exam and whether or not you're going to be a good lawyer. And it was highly discriminatory. And for years, the LSAC dug in deep and refused to change this policy.
Rob, this is the 21st century. I mean, we've been fighting civil rights, all kinds of things kind of going on. And this is, I got to tell you, the word just hypocrisy comes to my mind here in this kind of context because I can't even believe this is going on these days.
Here is where it breaks down to in a nutshell, Jeff, is there is a fundamental paradigm that is very different. The thinking of antiquated arguments like the LSAC had in this particular case is that testing accommodations provide students with an advantage over other students, as opposed to the mindset that the need for accommodations for students with disabilities levels the playing field and gives them an equal opportunity. And that was really the crux of the disagreement between both sides in this case. This is not about an advantage for students. This is about leveling the playing field because even by those high standards, there were certain students that met those standards, and even the LSAC agreed that they needed this accommodation. Then why flag the score? It made no sense. And that's why this involved every type. This involved litigation, legislation, civil litigation among a lot of community pressure, and everything really came together, but it was not an easy process.
Wow. I really want to kind of continue this, but I got to take a break real quick, Rob.
Okay.
I want to pick this up in a second. For people that want to learn more about you and what you're doing, website, RobertTudisco.com. And is there a contact button if somebody wants to go there and reach out to you because they either want to learn about you, curious, or they got a question? Is there a way to get in touch with you?
Yeah. There's a lot of information there. My email address is linked on there as a button, or they could just email me at robert@roberttudisco.com.
All right, so everybody, bear with us. We're going to run to a commercial break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. With us is Rob Tudisco, and we're having a great conversation about the ADHD victory over discrimination in the Ivory Tower. Rob, you know, before the break, I'm just in awe that it's the 21st century, and the hypocrisy is kind of going around. What strike? And forgive me, and I don't tone me down if I need to, but we're talking about the legal field that is ignorant and looking at time as an advantage and not a playing field. I mean, these are the people that I'm looking to be on the forefront of education and kind of keeping up with some of this stuff, and I'm hearing this hypocrisy. And they're the ones that are making it difficult. Forgive me here. Just help me understand that a little bit.
Well, it really is an antiquated way of thinking. And the reason that I had come up with when I had done a couple of articles on this is that the title I used was Discrimination in the Ivory Tower is because institutions like that really are very resistant to change. And we are causing change, and we are all people like yourself and myself try to be agents of change, but with some mindsets, it's very, very, very difficult. Even with the SAT, the test to get into college, and the ACT, a number of years ago, there was a firestorm in the press because people were alleging that as colleges and I guess law schools and graduate institutions are getting more competitive, that some people are manufacturing the need for accommodations in order to seek some type of a competitive edge. And so for the SAT and the ACT, my experience is that as a result of that press, most of these cases are now won on appeal. When people apply, in more cases than not, they are denied, but they are told you can appeal this process and bring in additional documentation, and they really are challenging the students and their families to come in with more documentation, and a lot of these are won on appeal. The LSAC for the LSAT exam just wouldn't listen to reason at all. It was a very shut-down process. And I also want to highlight something else. I was contacted, the reason I got involved in this whole situation is because of the advocacy work that I do, the writing that I do. I was contacted by a professor of, a law professor at Hofstra University Law School in New York. And I really think this is very important. The reason this was brought to my attention was because the Dean of Admissions of Hofstra University Law School gets that letter from every accommodated test score, okay? And she is, in addition to being the Dean of Admissions to Hofstra Law School, she's a mom of two kids with ADHD, and this made her angry.
Wow.
And it wasn't because of necessarily her position, that's how she saw it, but she was someone who had a personal interest in this and really needed help and reached out for me through this professor, and that's how I got involved in this whole situation. She wanted to know if, based upon the relationships I had at CHAD and ADDA and the EDGE Foundation, if I could pull together enough people for a class action lawsuit against the Law School Admissions Council. And what happened was I found out as I was exploring that there was an assemblyman in the state of California who drafted legislation prohibiting the practice of flagging and also requiring the Law School Admissions Council to streamline their accommodation process and make it more transparent. Okay? So what I did was I went back to the people who reached out for me. I spoke to Chad and Ada and a bunch of other organizations, and we all thought it would be much faster and easier to support that legislation. I immediately contacted Assemblyman, who is now a senator, Ricardo Lara in California, and I supported his office. We sent in letters from Chad, from the EDGE Foundation, personal letters from parents, and provided them with information, and based upon the information we provided, this is also going to shock you, Jeff, because the disability community really came together, organizations like AHEAD, CHAD, ADDA, a number of them, the bill actually gained unanimous bipartisan support in the Assembly and also in the Senate. And when it went to the floor of both houses, it passed by an overwhelming bipartisan majority. So that really took the political process out of this. But what happened, unfortunately, was once Governor Brown signed it into law, the Law School Admissions Council sued the state of California to prevent them from enforcing the law. And their argument – no, I'm not. I wish I were. Their argument was that since the legislation targets the LSAT exam and they're the only people who administer it, that the law unfairly targets them and they're not receiving equal protection under the Constitution.
You got to be kidding me. They're saying they're
not
getting discriminated against when they're discriminating against everybody else.
And they also said that what they write in that letter is their constitutionally protected right of free speech. And so there was now all of our organizations got involved in the civil litigation that was going on in this particular lawsuit. And what happened was the EDGE Foundation, along with AHEAD and a number of other organizations, signed on to what's known as an amicus brief. And for those out there who don't know what that means, is if there is litigation and it impacts a social issue, organizations who are not part of the actual litigation are allowed to supply the court with briefs as friends of the court. And this was done on both sides. We supplied a lot of information and research. And ultimately what happened was, and I think the impetus for the settlement in the case, was that most of the arguments by the Law School Admissions Council were knocked down. The equal protection argument was flatly denied. The free speech part of the decision I did not completely agree with. The court, it was a factual trial issue, but the Law School Admissions Council was going to have a very high burden to establish that this was violating their right to free speech. And I think that decision and the way it was worded really was the handwriting on the wall for the LSAT that they really needed to circle the wagons, because there was going to be a big problem. Also, the California's version of the Justice Department, and the U.S. Justice Department got involved in the civil litigation. The Department of Fair Employment and Housing in the state of California and the U.S. Justice Department entered the lawsuit on behalf of the discriminated students, and ultimately the case was settled. And it was settled in the following manner. The Law School Admissions Council is now, while they're not admitting guilt or discrimination, they are agreeing to be prohibited from flagging test scores. They have to provide tracking information to show that their process is streamlined, and also that tracking information is going to be used to make the process transparent. So students will be able to see where they are in the application process, what is additionally required, and they will be able to expedite providing that information. There was also a lot of monetary awards that were laid out in the case. The Law School Admissions Council essentially put up a fund of over $7 million and also paid the Justice Department, I believe it was $55,000 as a settlement in the matter. But the good news is that the practice is now over. The good news is that this was a huge victory, not just for people with ADHD, but for people with learning disabilities and all other disabilities that would necessitate them getting testing accommodations in order to level the playing field. But the bad news, Jeff, is that there are a number of other high-stakes testing organizations that still flag scores. The National Board of Medical Examiners does, the National Board of Osteopathic Medical Examiners, the National Council of Bar Examiners, the Medical College Admissions Test, the MCAT, Graduate Management Admissions Test, the GMAT, the Dental Admissions Test, the Nursing Entrance Test. I have a list of all of the organizations that flag test scores, and the disability community is now charged up by this victory, and we're going to move forward, and we're not going to stop until this discriminatory practice completely. I do want to also note that the SAT and the ACT have discontinued this practice a number of years ago. So students don't, and they also have a very expedited process now for students applying for accommodations. This shows us that it can work, that our voices together carry a lot more weight than individually, that the disability community is truly a community of people, and when we come together in the aggregate sense, we make things happen. Organizations like CHAD. That's the reason to support organizations like ADDA, nonprofits like the EDGE Foundation, NAMI, all of these organizations that provide community support, information, and most importantly, a voice for you in the legislature, in the halls of Congress, in court, when practices like this come about.
All right, so here's the deal. I got to pause. I got to down-regulate my emotions, because I just can't believe it's the 21st century. Everything you're telling me, and we're still forging forward on some of these things. So I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to go to a break for a second and kind of come back. We'll synthesize this a little bit, Rob, but I just got to kind of down-regulate everything. For our listeners out there, it's Rob Todisco, T-U-D-I-S. Robert Todisco at T-U-D-I-S-C-O.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
how an Edge coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit TimeTimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at AttentionTalkNetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Rob Todisco having an amazing conversation in the 21st century about discrimination. And Rob, I had to stop and take a pause because my head is swirling here because we've got an organization that is a bottleneck for people that want to go on to law school. They're filtering that stuff out, making it difficult for those with ADHD, even more difficult to kind of get through, which, by the way, I want to come back and ask you a question. Does the test really reflection of that they're a good lawyer or not? Because that's a big deal to me. But that aside, is they're making it very difficult for these people to go through. Then we take issue with it, and they come back and say they're being discriminated because they're being targeted. And so this all has to go into the stuff to kind of get resolved. And there's still organizations out there that are still exercising these practices. And another thing I'd like you to comment on is even though things are more transparent for the LSATs, I got to believe it's still difficult and very labor-intensive for all the paper to actually get the accommodation. So I know I covered a lot there, but let's back up. Is it still very laborious to get the accommodations for the LSAT?
Well, supposedly the process is streamlined. Only time is going to tell how the process is changing after this, but I will tell you that not only are they required to be more transparent and to expedite, but they also have to report how they're doing this and give the government and the students give track how much they're in compliance with this settlement.
Okay.
That's been entered. So I think there is a mechanism. It's kind of like the, you know, any new when there was mental health parity in the insurance law. It was a great victory, but now we have to wait and see how this in practice is going to work.
Okay. Now, in your opinion, is the LSAT reflective of what makes a good lawyer or not?
No. As a matter of fact, and this is going to make your head swirl even more, Jeff, the Law School Admissions Council even concedes that the test is not indicative of whether or not you will be a good lawyer. Okay?
No, stop. You're hurting.
What their argument was that the timing portion, specifically the accommodation that we're talking about here, is the time element involved, extended time for the exam. That's really where the issue was. And their position was that the way they built the test and the way they score the test within the time frame, it does not approximate whether or not you will be a good lawyer. What it does approximate is whether or not you will be a good first-year law student based upon the pressures that are imposed on first-year law students. And I can tell you, as someone who's been through first year of law school, that there are a number of pressures in first year of law school. But I think that there are people who are excellent lawyers, do well in law school. I can tell you right now, I graduated in the top 95% of my class, which for those of you who didn't get the joke, it's the bottom 5% of my class. But I graduated, and I'm very successful at what I do. You know, how you do on a contracts exam is not something that is important to me when I'm trying a homicide case or when I'm going to argue about a discriminatory practice like this, or when I'm going to advocate for a student who is not being given the benefit of some type of remedial service that they need based upon their disability. So, you know, that is really the issue. But I also want to kind of highlight one thing here. You've used the phrase a lot during tonight's broadcast about this is the 21st century, and I think that's a really important thing to remember. With any type of discrimination, be it racial, gender-based, sexual preference discrimination, two things happen. We look back and we realize how far we've come, but then again, in the same breath, we also realize that we have a very long way still to go because these things still shouldn't be happening in this time frame. The bottom line is that getting the disability community together like this to effectuate change for these students would not have been able to have been done 10 years ago. The disability community was too fragmented. There was too much stigma out there that law students wouldn't raise an argument or complain. And people just didn't know about disabilities and how brain function is different. And you wouldn't have probably had the Law School Admission Council even consenting that the test doesn't approximate what type of lawyer you'll be. So this does represent an important step forward, but there's a lot more that still has to be done. But it's a good illustration of things that can get done.
And I want to kind of turn this to really, if you're listening to this program, it's a huge celebration, but at the same time, it's your work, Rob, because you've been tied into everybody. You were running the Edge Foundation. You're in Chad. You're at ADA, and you're as I started this off, everybody, you don't know Rob. He's your best friend that you never met, because he's doing this work on this together. And the only way that we can do this is support by coming together and supporting these organizations, because those organizations speak all together in unison with one voice. And I'm going to mess it up, but earlier you referenced in California, when everybody kind of spoke up, it kind of came unanimous. And these are one individual calling a congressman or whatever is not really going to make something happen, but it's the collective voice of everything's coming together. And, Rob, again, it's the work that you're doing on the front side that's actually making these change. And this win, if you will, in this area now is fueling the motivation and actually is – and we've got case law, I don't know the right wording, and you can help me with that, to actually go through these other organizations and right these wrongs in the 21st century and kind of get us current. And I can't – if you're listening to this and you're not a member of any of these organizations, go sign up, become members. And if you're not, contribute to them. Or if you can sign up and you can give additional stuff, do that. I mean, I know you, Rob, not only do you do that stuff, but you do runs and stuff to raise money for these things. So I have to get off my soapbox here for a second, but the bottom line is this is the power of everybody working together and speaking with one voice. So
I agree completely.
And
from my involvement with this, again, I think it's important to underscore that, you know, sure, this was a law school dean, but she was also a mom, and this made her angry, and she had a right to be angry. And based upon that, she really picked up the phone and reached out to me. There were other organizations already working on this issue. I certainly can't take credit for this win, but certainly I think it's important to note that you have to think of these wins as not a win in an end-all, be-all sense, but they are momentum builders.
Yes.
Now that we've conquered one, we can move on to the next one, and we have momentum. And people know that even a small voice, when coupled with other small voices, can really effectuate change.
I could not have said it better myself. Well, all that being said, Rob, is there anything left on the table? Is there anything... I kind of feel like we're kind of getting to with the crescendo of the end here. It's a great celebration. It's a great day for the community. Like to inspire you guys, go out there again. Go tap into these organizations and support them. But is anything left to say?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. But you have to just, you know, I also want to again just reiterate that, you know, there's a huge difference in mindset when people are, when you are asking for services for your child or you're trying to help someone or advocate for someone, the fact of the matter is there's a huge difference in how this issue is approached. This is not about getting students an unfair advantage. This is about something that is necessary for the community at doing something, and that's really where you have to kind of focus.
You know, I've heard through my interviews over the years, many of the experts have talked about, think of it as prosthetics, is sometimes if you're missing a leg, you need a prosthetic to kind of be able to walk and stuff like that. And many times those with ADD need prosthesis, but it's not as visible. So there's a little bit more of a discrimination or a stigma associated, but this is a situation where they just need a little bit of some stuff to kind of get them through in order for them to perform. And it really makes some sense when you think about it, but it's really about the advocacy to overcome the ignorance of the world that's out there so that we can move this thing forward. So, Rob, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on and doing this particular show. We've done lots and lots of shows with you, but this one in particular has got to be one of my favorites because it's a celebration, but it's still a charge because there's still a lot of work to be done. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks again, Jeff, and again, as always, thank you for giving me a forum to kind of report on this type of stuff.
You're on the forefront. So everybody, again, Robert Tudisco, that's TUDISCO.com, and catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.